This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. Good discussions this morning. I really enjoyed the Ben and Woods program. I know I'm partial to it, but there are Ben and Woods programs I don't enjoy.
You're very honest about it after the show.
I am like, God, it was terrible. We suck. Today, I feel, has been a pretty good day. Coming off a crap loss last night, certainly. 2-1 to the Angels. Going to be joined by Jesse Agler, the GOAT, at 8:35. Love that man so much. And 9:35, we'll be joined by Kevin Charity from Matt Friars. Get a little measure talk. See what that kid is all about and what to expect from him tonight as he makes his major league debut against the Los Angeles Angels. I'm excited to see him throw. I've heard nothing but good things. And, of course, that means absolutely nothing. As soon as you toe the slab at the big league level, we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to watch him pitch. Of course, I was excited to watch Joey Lucchese pitch when he made his debut.
Which I believe was a fantastic debut.
It was.
Right?
Yeah. My first day in the press box ever. And I just felt like I had arrived. I'm Woodsy. That is Italian Paul. Frank Marchese is filling in for Paul Reindel, who's in Vegas. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Italian Paul, I told this story yesterday. He texted me a couple weeks ago, Benny, and he goes, well, this was weird. I just got stopped and recognized at Petco, but they called me Italian Paul. And I said, oh, no, have I ruined this guy's the beginning of this guy's career? Let me get your honest. I need you to lay on the couch in here, and I'll be your therapist. Of course, I'll also be the person that
just
did
went
this
to one yesterday, so I got practice.
Okay, good. Good. I'm also a therapy fan, Italian Paul.
I went for a different reason.
Oh, okay. Okay. You don't have to get into it if you don't want to.
No, I'm getting bariatric surgery, and that's one of the prerequisites for it.
Different type. Yeah. All right, so when you got recognized at Petco Park, and how did it go down?
I was sitting in the press box filling out my scorecard.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, off to my right, I hear, yo, Italian Paul. I look over, I'm like, hi.
somebody wave to you. What's up, Italian Paul?
Yeah.
So it had to feel good.
Felt odd.
It felt odd.
Yes, it felt odd.
Would it have been better for you had they said, hey, Frank Marchese, what's up, buddy?
No, that still would have been odd.
Okay, all right. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't want to pigeonhole you with this Italian Paul bit. Like, I started calling Adam yesterday. Adam is now Bald Reindel. When he fills in for Paul, he's no longer Adam. He's Bald Reindel. And you are Italian Paul because you're Italian. And yes. So that's it. So everybody that fills in is some iteration of Paul. That's what we do. So,
a variation.
Yeah, variation is what I meant.
What's Paul's middle name? Because that one's going to be the next
Paul
one.
Thomas.
Okay,
Paul Thomas Reindel.
P.T. Reindel.
P.T. Reindel. All right, good. So you don't mind being called Italian Paul?
No.
Okay, good.
What's your middle name, Frank?
Donald.
Donald.
My great-grandfather's name.
Frank Donald Marchese. Italian Paul. I love it. So good. You're not mad at me for calling you
No,
Frank.
Not at all.
Because I didn't want to stick somebody with a nickname they don't want.
No, like I said, it felt... That was the first time that's ever happened. And it was just, it felt so weird. It's, like, who is calling me?
Yeah, it's great. Well, wait till we get launch our Italian Paul shirt merch line.
Oh, no.
That's going to go off. It's going to fly off the shelves.
I need to be a part of the approval process
on that. I've told this story before, but when I first started at Channel 10 many years ago, you know, you wonder, will you start to get recognized around town? Oh, yeah. You're a sports guy on TV, right? Channel 10, right? Oh, good to see you. And it did start happening a couple of times. And I remember I was at the, I think it was at Target at the checkout stand. And The woman who was checking me out in line, the cashier, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Goes,
thanks
oh,
for clarifying.
You look so familiar. I know you from somewhere, right? And I said, yeah, you've seen me on television. I do the sports on Channel 10. And she goes, no, that's not it.
Guy got me Petco a few weeks ago.
So now, ever since that moment, if someone says, you look so familiar, where do I know you?
You don't.
I don't say anything. Yeah. I just go, I don't know. If you can think of it, it's all on you. If you can't, I'm not leading you to water if you're not going to drink it.
It happened the other day. A couple weeks ago, I was at the game with the kids, and the guy, yeah, hell yeah, Ben. I roll with it at this point. I just go, hey, how you doing, man? Playing ball the other day, got to second base, and the shortstop goes, hey, man, you're on the radio, right? I go, yeah. And he goes, are you Ben or Woods? I go, I'm Woodsy. And he said, oh, dude, nice to meet you. When did you start playing in this league? I said, 2010. He goes, oh, I was 5 years old. I said, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be out here with you youngsters. But no, good. Italian Paul, I wanted to make sure that you were cool with that. I didn't want to just saddle that.
Yeah, I was fine. And if you guys do recognize me, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying I'm going to feel a little weird about it because I'm not used to it. That's
yeah.
it.
All right, good. He, if you see Italian Paul, say hello. Give him a big hug. He likes that. Just like Benjamin.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
All right, you're deep in thought over there to my left.
I'm not deep in thought at all. In fact, I have very few thoughts running through my head at the moment, which is actually worrying me. Like, because the show still has almost 2 hours
yeah,
left.
We're good.
So I don't have a ton of thoughts right now in my head. We talked about the game last night. I didn't panic because I didn't feel like I knew with Luis Arraez out and Tyler Anderson, a tough lefty on the mound, it just was not going to be an easy game for the Padres to win. I thought they had a chance, certainly, but I wasn't expecting a 7-1 just route just because the Angels.
I wasn't expecting a route. I expected
bad.
A win, though. I expected a win.
I just thought that this is a troublesome game with no Arraez and facing Tyler Anderson. This is going to be problematic.
So sounds like alibis to me.
Well, it just went the way I kind of expected it to.
God, I couldn't disagree more.
I hoped that they would come up with a big hit or two and pull out a win. Certainly. They could have.
There
was no reason they could have or shouldn't have. But it wasn't a game like 10. You got to win that 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. To me, that was a 5 or 6 out of 10 type game, which means the other team's going to win it 4 or 5 times as well.
No. That's 8 out of 10. You got to win that game.
No.
Yes.
No.
They had 7 wins at home.
Going against
7. They lost 5 in a row.
Against a pitcher with a 2-something ERA.
Bro, come on.
That's not an 8 out of 10 game.
It is.
That is not.
It is.
If that's an 8 out of 10 game.
They have a team full of guys that are DFA. They can't even field a roster right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's a team you need to beat the crap out of. Just pummel.
But
I get
but that's not how baseball works.
I understand it.
Yes, they held them to 2 runs. They held a bad lineup to 2 runs. You are going to win that game most of the time. The problem is that if the other player on the team is a good pitcher that you're not matching up well against, doesn't really matter who the rest of the players are on the team. A good pitcher can equalize the playing field in baseball. And last night, the playing field got equalized by Tyler Anderson.
Oh, my God. We're tipping our cap to Tyler Anderson, I guess.
Kevin points it out. He's their number one starter against the Padres' number 5 starter.
Yeah, I mean, our number 5 starter pitched his ass off last night.
He did. He absolutely. And he's been throwing well. And yes,
right, I'll go 7 out of 10.
The Padres should be able to score 3 runs, but they didn't. They didn't come through with any hits with runners in scoring position. That's how you lose a game like that. I don't think it's really cause for concern or...
I'm not concerned. I'm pissed. I'm not concerned at all. Like, I'm ready for tonight.
Were you more mad about the Marlins loss?
Always. I'm always going to be more mad.
Yesterday's loss.
But again, they're not that dissimilar. They're really not. I mean, I know the score was different. You gave up more runs. They're not that dissimilar. When the offense starts stranding a bunch of guys, get on base, making mistakes, not playing clean baseball, it's kind of like... It didn't feel to me as give-up-y, but it was also like, guys, we're talking, get a lazy fly ball here. Be smart on the base pass, and you win that game, probably going away.
Let's say you played 10 games in a row against the Angels, Padres Angels. How many should they win?
7.
Seven,
yeah.
Right.
7, 8.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Which means you're still going to lose like three of those, which means out of every three, you're probably going to lose one of those.
There's no team in baseball that, you know, you say we can beat 10 straight games. You know what I mean? It's very, very difficult to do. Hell, even as we know very well as Padres fans, it's proven impossible to beat a team three straight times. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. But again, you don't want to dig yourself in a hole in a winnable game where you made mistakes on the base pass, waiting for them to make a mistake. Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
You but, wanted but them be not
smart.
To be aggressive.
No, no, be smart. Be smart with your ABs. Be better than them. You are better than them. They had won seven times at home. I understand Tyler Anderson. He's also gotten really lucky this year. Really, really lucky. He's one of those guys. Doesn't throw hard. Doesn't overpower you. The changeup was nasty early. You got to him in the first inning. And then bad base running murdered you last night. Murdered you. So waiting for another team to make a mistake because they're a bad team is not the right way to go. Exert your will, you know, enforce your dominance over a team like the Angels, who is made up of a bunch of guys that were DFA'd. That's it. That's all I'm saying. No Mike Trout, you know, none of their big players. No Rendon. You got to beat these teams, man. You do. We say it like a mantra every single year. Stop playing down to teams like the Angels and the Rockies.
I think what worries me the most is now you've got two more games.
And you got a rookie on the bump today.
And if you do lose one of these two, then you've really missed an opportunity.
100%.
You know, I'm not going to complain. I sound like Mike Schilt here. I'm not going to complain about
a
series
either.
Win.
I'm definitely not either.
But
I'm
if you lose two out of three, you know, that's a missed opportunity against the Angels. Obviously, and you would have rather had that first game of the series, but you didn't get it. Now, there were some positives. Obviously, Matt Waldron was the number one positive. Over his last five starts now, Waldron has a 1.74, I think, or 1.84 ERA. He has found something, and I don't think it's just a mirage. I know he's going to have a bad start at some point. All pitchers do. But I do feel like with Matt Waldron, he's not the same pitcher that he was last year or even in spring training this year or even in the first month of the season. He's throwing the knuckleball harder. It's getting better results. That also makes his other pitches a little bit more effective. He's never going to be a dominant Cy Young-type performer.
No.
But he is now, to me, a guy that I think the Padres, if he stays healthy, can count on in their starting rotation to give them a chance to win pretty much every fifth day.
Yep.
You know, he's not the guy, I don't think, that we saw early in the season that every third start he's going to give up four or five in the first two innings. I think he's better than that now.
Yeah.
I think he's a better pitcher than that now. And the Padres were patient and found something with Matt Waldron. Good job all around. Good job by Matt. Good job by the coaching staff, Ruben Niebla, and the work that they've put in with this guy. They have a better player now than they did a few months ago.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. We said on the roundtable maybe a month ago, you know, hey, who should the fifth starter be, and should it be Matt Waldron? I think my quote was, if you have to keep asking every week who your fifth starter is, you probably don't have a fifth starter. I'll wear that one because he has been nothing short of outstanding, and you need to win those starts. When your five goes out and pitches as well as he did last night, you're a better team than them. You need to win those games.
So the Padres still need some pitching help, though. It's not because Matt Waldron hasn't done the job.
Nope.
It's because of the injuries and two guys out of the starting lineup. So when we come back, I want to talk about the new rumors thrown out. Jeff Passan came out with his trade deadline preview, even though we're still almost 2 months away. Which teams are sellers? Which teams could be buyers? Where the Padres fit in potentially going into the next couple of months? And who could be guys that they are targeting? We'll get to that coming up after a check of traffic with more Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never too early to start talking about the trade deadline, especially when A.J. Preller is your general manager.
Sure.
He's already made a giant move this season, and the odds are, at least based on the people who know, they're expecting A.J. to do more before the trade deadline. Jeff Passan of ESPN came out with his early 2024 MLB trade deadline preview this morning and divided the teams into different categories like unloaders, you know, the White Sox, the Rockies, the Angels, who the Padres are taking on right now. There's the hinge teams like the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox who are probably going to play it out for the next couple of months and see if they can get it going and then maybe be buyers. But if they don't, they could still be sellers. Some tweeners, he said, you know, teams like the Cubs and the Reds, who, again, are also kind of in that middle ground. And then there's the likely adders, where he includes the San Diego Padres sure. in the mix. And here's what Jeff Passan wrote. Said, A.J. Preller was on the hunt for starters even before Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove wound up on the injured list, and the Padres are operating like an organization that believes it's closer to its 19-12 road record than its 13-19 stink fest at home. San Diego has cobbled together one of the best bullpens in baseball, led by closer Robert Suarez, and buttressed with two of the most underrated arms in the majors, right-hander Jeremiah Estrada and left-hander Adrian Morejon. Even with Xander Bogaerts out, Fernando Tatis Jr. not playing to expectations, and Manny Machado struggling, the hope is that the offense can score enough to allow Preller to spend prospect capital on pitching instead of hitting. Even after getting Dylan Cease, the state of San Diego's starting pitching is grim, and the Padres are going to need to get creative to fill the void and still remain under the luxury tax threshold with about $10 million of leeway.
$10 million is not a lot
But if you're only acquiring someone for 2 months, you can acquire a $30 million player
right.
for 2 months at $10 million.
Right.
So it's not as limiting as it might be. The closer you get to the trade deadline, that opens up pretty much every player and pitcher in baseball. For instance, in the sellers, he mentions the Angels and last night's starting pitcher Tyler Anderson, who's making $13 million this year. So prorated, you could acquire him now and stay under the luxury tax. Also $13 million next year, which, you know, based on what guys like Michael Wacha are getting, $13 million for Tyler Anderson is not an exorbitant price tag. And he absolutely could be someone that I would think the Padres might target in trade deadline talks to acquire a veteran left-hander. They don't have any, you know, lefties in their starting rotation on an everyday basis. So that seems to me like someone who makes a ton of sense, actually, for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, potentially. Any other names involved? I've seen Eric Fetty, who is really, really looking sharp with the White Sox.
Braxton Garrett would be a left-hander with the Marlins. And then, of course, Lizardo. Jesus Luzardo has been talked about a lot. Would obviously cost more prospect capital than some of the other guys.
He doesn't make a ton of money, and you'll have a couple of years of control with him as well. I want to look at Fetty's contract because he's an interesting dude. He is one of those guys that went overseas, really found something, and is coming back and pitching really well on a bad team. Probably why they signed him, so that they could move him.
He's the White Sox. What were you going to say?
I said another thing that might lead to possibly trading with the Marlins again. just broken by Jeff Passan. Outfielder Avisel Garcia has just been DFA'd by the Marlins.
Holy cow.
Garcia is in the third year of a four-year, $53 million contract, which means the Marlins are going to eat nearly $24 million.
They DFA'd him. Holy smokes.
The White Sox, according to Passan, are willing to trade Garrett Crochet.
Yep.
Who is who's converted from bullpen to a starter and has been very successful so far early this season. He's controlled for another couple of years, though, so they're going to actually obviously ask for quite a bit and try to take advantage of his hot start, knowing that they're not going anywhere probably this year or really next year. If you're the White Sox, there's not a lot of near-term hope that they're going to be a contender, so they're going to continue to try to convert into bigger prospects.
I think they're years away.
Yeah, but he's a lefty as well. That's a name that wouldn't surprise me if AJ Preller made a play. You know, he likes to attack those guys who are, you know, breaking out like Garrett Crochet is. Didn't work out with Adam Frazier a couple of years ago on the hitting side, but certainly fits the mold of someone that AJ Preller might be interested in.
What are we waiting on? Let's go. I'm getting impatient here. It's been a couple of weeks since we acquired
Luis Arraez.
Do
you not think that there's value in seeing more of what the Padres have and giving it a few more weeks before you pull the trigger on a trade? Yeah, like you don't want to make a trade now and realize, you know what, we should have saved that prospect capital for something else that we needed instead. You know, if Adam Mazur comes up and, you know, makes some three or four great starts, and then Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove come off the injured list, and all of a sudden you got Matt Waldron going well, maybe you don't need starting pitching. I think you do, but
I don't know that that's ever been said for a playoff run.
But maybe you need something more. Maybe you need a catcher more. Maybe you need a right-handed power-hitting bat more. Maybe you need bullpen more. If you can only make a certain number of moves, and because of the luxury tax of your prospects, there's only a number of moves you can make. Perhaps it's better to wait a little bit and be as close to as sure as what you need as opposed to pulling the trigger now.
I mean, I look at it right now and I go, yeah, there's two holes right now. And if you're – are you confident that Mazur and – Brandy Vasquez are going to be able to plug those holes long enough for those guys to come back? And again, there's no guarantee that when those, I mean, they've pitched a couple starts, they've gone on the IL. A couple starts, gone on the IL. That's not something that is going to lead to success much beyond. And if you get to the postseason, you got to make sure those, you and Joe, are healthy and ready to go. I think you go out and try to make a move for a starting pitcher as soon as you can. I don't know that waiting, what would be the reason to wait? Just to kind of see what Mazur can do. They're not going to count on him for big innings. To wait and see what Vasquez can do. Those guys could slot into the bullpen. You know, honestly, like move them out if you get another starting pitcher.
I think the only reason to wait is that you feel like you can't make any more moves. The next move you make might be the last one you can make. You know, because you are trying to stay under the luxury tax. Because you only have so many prospects that you're willing to trade,
sure.
The next move might be the last one. So it better be the right one. It better be the one that you need. You better get this one correct. Now, if you're absolutely sure it's pitching, yeah, you probably would want that pitcher on your team as early as possible, as long as you can. But if there's a chance that you might wish that it was something else in 2 months, and you're going, I wish we had waited and made a trade in mid-July for a reliever or made a trade for a catcher in mid-July, then maybe patience is actually a virtue in this situation.
I, one thing I do know is that AJ Preller will be active because he's always active. He's never really not active in trying to add a piece that's going to help this team win. You know, I do see a lot of chatter still about the Padres window. Yeah, I mean, look, it's why the Brian Kenny Padres should rebuild thing never makes sense to me. Like they are going to continue to go for it, albeit in a different manner than they have in the past. They're going to have to be a little bit smarter, like what they did with Arraez. I mean, look, let's be honest. He's got to go out and fleece a GM or two. He really does. It needs to be his best work as a GM. That's the pressure that's on AJ Preller right now. Hey, by the way, so far so good. So far so good this season. So
the Arraez trade's been terrific.
It's brilliant.
But AJ's history at the trade deadline has not been good in the past.
Correct.
Keep that in mind
Keep that in mind as well. Like I said, he's got to bat 1,000 pretty much, and no GM does. But right now, with his limited resources and his, I guess, limited prospects, guy has done a good job at creating value for some of his prospects that not a lot of people thought had a ton of value. So we'll see what happens. But I think sooner is better. I really do. I don't think you wait till the end of July to do it.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, it's an Incorporator Tuesday. Jesse Agler will join us. And only Woods knows if he's home or if he's at a hotel
exactly
in the Anaheim
right.
area.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is to that. We'll find out next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to get Jesse Agler on the line. It's proving a little more difficult than we expected. But you got your answer.
Yeah, he's definitely in Orange County
at
the moment.
He is. And then not great service on his cell phone.
The far-flung areas of Orange County, apparently.
Correct.
That don't have good cell service.
Call can't be completed, guys. The call can't be completed. Professional radio.
Yep. Live broadcasting. It's always fun.
I mean, it's not as though there's only one method to communicate with people. Can we get them on a Zoom, a Teams, a Snapchat?
Let me put out a smoke signal. Yeah. Hold on. Give me a second.
All right. Keep working on that, IP. Maybe he can call the hotline from his cell.
I think that was not working.
Not the problem. From his room?
That's well, then you've got at the hotel. Do they still do that?
Yes, Eric Meyer. I'll Venmo you. Would it cost you a nickel to make that call? I got it. Just put it on my tab.
I know, it's a hotel. Remember what it used to cost to make a call from a hotel?
I always had I always carried a calling card with me, so I would use that. So you didn't,
or you'd go down to the payphone down in the lobby instead of using your hotel phone, which they would charge you like $4 a minute or something to make a call to order for a pizza, which was insane.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, I bet you're not a big room service guy.
No, why would you order lesser food at a higher price when you can simply go down the block and get something yourself?
You know why? Convenience and eating in your hotel room is very fun. It's very fun to do. And then you take it and you leave it out. It's the greatest bit of all time. Here you go. I'm just going to leave this right here outside the door. Somebody else's problem. There's nothing like it.
I mean, I do enjoy those silver cloches.
The cloche.
Which I believe was an incorporator
cloche,
word.
Yeah.
Early in his incorporator tenure. All right. Look, they're still working. All right, let's check traffic, and then we come back.
We think.
The very far-flung Jesse Agler will join us next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, guys. I cannot really hear you. I can only sort of hear you in the background. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you perfectly. You sound great.
Okay. There you go.
At the Disneyland Hotel or something. Was it your cell phone that wasn't working?
Yeah, nobody seems to have self-service here, no matter what company you have. Everybody has different companies, and it doesn't work well for anybody, it seems. So we're on the hotel phone. I don't know the last time I touched a hotel phone, like physically touched it.
So you're not a big room service guy then?
No.
I agree with you.
I love room service. Are you guys kidding? You really don't like room service?
It's 2024, man. DoorDash.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair. DoorDash, yeah, that's probably more convenient.
More options.
More options. Cheaper.
Yeah.
More options. Yeah. A third of the price, etc.
Yeah. I don't know why I was so fascinated by you. I texted you yesterday to get this information. Did you come home, you know, after the trip and then drive up for the games, or do you stay in the hotel? And you said, no, I'm staying in the hotel this time. And I said, that's a wise decision that you made. I, too, would stay in the hotel. Sorry, babe, I know I'm 70 miles from our house. I cannot make it down there.
It's a terrible drive, though.
It really is a bad drive.
It's a terrible drive.
Bad drive. You know, it's like an hour and a half or whatever from my house. And to do that, you know, at 11 o'clock at night after a game, three straight days, doesn't feel great. So, you know, that was kind of my thinking. Now, had this been the first stop in the trip, might have stayed home for an extra day or two and done that. But kind of on the back end of a road trip, it sort of felt like, all right, I'm already here. And I'll see you guys in a couple days.
Yeah, works for me.
So Woods is very frustrated this morning. Obviously, I would have liked to have seen the Padres win, but
irrationally, I said it.
I didn't have that same maybe level of frustration to me. Padres, I will agree with Mike Schilt. They're a team playing some good baseball. They're not going to win every single game. And last night simply was a case where the you know, the game on the margins, the going for the extra bases didn't work out. The runners with scoring position didn't work out. I didn't see any signs of like larger problems or anything. Just happened to not come through last night. But I don't expect that to be an ongoing issue, Jesse, for the Padres.
All right. You know, I mean, look, every loss generally is frustrating, you know, in some way or another. And, you know, we can pick apart what was frustrating about last night versus some other game. But, yeah, as you said, A, you're not going to win every one. You know, I think for me, the two main things to come out of yesterday that I assume people are kind of wrapped up in are the aggressive base running, which I don't consider an issue in any way, shape, or form. Now, do I think both decisions last night were good decisions? Maybe not. You know, the first one, I think in particular, the play was in front of Kim. He decided to make the aggressive play. I think in retrospect, if he had to do that one over again, he's probably stopping at second base. The second one, gotta go. Like, you know, make them make the play they did. I think every third base coach in baseball makes the decision that Tim Leeper made. Oh, by the way, you didn't really have another shot to score again after that. So if they had left him there and he didn't come home, we'd be, you know, ruining that decision. So I was totally fine with that. You know, the lefty thing, though, is the other one. And the Padres struggles against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one that popped up on my radar, I don't know, back in April, late April. And it was just kind of weird, right? And I started asking around kind of quietly, like, hey, you got anything on this? And it was a little bit early on in the season, I think, for anybody to read too far into it. But, you know, sometime in the last homestand, Mike Schilt kind of allowed to us publicly that, you know, against left-handed pitchers, you know, the fly ball rate for the hitters was, you know, higher than maybe they wanted it to be or expected it to be. So I've kind of kept my eye on that. And now, look, Tyler Anderson's having a really good year. He's pitched really well against the Padres, it seems like, every time out.
Yep.
This guy has tortured them many times. So it maybe wasn't, like, the greatest surprise in the world yesterday, but that's one that I would kind of keep my eye on. And so I guess my point is, if you want to take something out of yesterday and sort of apply it to the future, I would say we got to continue to keep our eye on this lefty thing. And Patrick Sandoval is going tonight for the Angels. He's another left-handed pitcher. You know, be interesting to see how that goes. It's a weird one. It really is. I don't think there's any great explanation for it. Other than maybe generally this year, Manny and Fernando, who have in their careers just crushed lefties, have not yet reached sort of, you know, their peaks. Now they're both heading in a really good direction. But I think going into yesterday, Fernando hitting about 100 points lower against lefties this year than he had in his career. Manny maybe more than 100 points against lefties this year than the rest of his career. So if those guys start getting going generally, one would imagine they're also going to get going against lefties, and that could totally change all that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of my takeaway from yesterday. I think getting wrapped up in a single decision by a third base coach is probably not my angle from yesterday's game. And like I said, I agreed with what Tim Leeper did. I'm watching that play unfold in real time, and, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, running into outs, you know, the Kim extra bag. Look, I mean, I think you can justify really all of it. You don't want to change the personality of your team. But I also, Jesse, think that this team has shown this year the ability to, sometimes it takes till the eighth inning when you can string nine straight hits together. So I know this is not a team that's waiting on the three-run homer anymore. And I love that about them. I mean, they have the ability to paper cut you to death. And they've done it. I think that was kind of my only thing of like, hey, man, Ha-Sung, you're in scoring position. Fernando, or Jerkson, you're at third. Manny's coming up, who they most certainly would have walked, but Solano's been mashing. Like, I have to remember, though, what Mike Schilt said and Manny Machado said, you keep giving yourself opportunities of at least getting guys on base, you're going to win hopefully more of those than you lose.
So, yeah, and not only that, but as you said, they've shown the ability to do it this year. And two, yeah, all right, it didn't happen last night, but there's nothing there that made me concerned for the long-term future.
Sure, same.
Of the team.
Same.
And,
yeah.
I think as long as that's not the case, then you can't get too wrapped up in it. I know the Angels aren't very good. I know their record is bad. I know their home record is particularly bad. But, you know, that's just how baseball goes.
It is.
Speaking of paper-cutting a team to death, your perspective on that 9-run, 11-hit, 8th inning on Friday night in Kansas City. I'm sure your scorecard got a workout for that one, but that was one of the more remarkable things I think I've seen as a Padres fan.
Yeah, no, remarkable is a great word for it because it kept happening. First of all, they'd never had 11 hits in an inning before. So, you know, a little bit of franchise history there, but I mean, just the fact it was just single, 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 single to start the game. And, I mean, then you had that bottom of the ninth inning. And it was just, you know, a game that was scoreless after five turned into one of the wildest games we've seen in the last couple of years. And it's just such a great reminder of the, you know, beautiful stupidity of baseball, as I like to say. And, you know, you never quite know how a game is going to go. You might think you know how it's going after a couple of innings. You might think you have a sense of the way this thing is going to end, you know, one way or the other. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just absolute bedlam out there. You know, I think that's such a great example, that game, of like, you know, the unpredictability of the sport and the craziness of the sport. And it was a lot of fun, obviously, to be on the right side of it and to be able to hold on and get that win. I know it wasn't ideal to have to go to Suarez, and that certainly came back in the Sunday game in Kansas City. But that top of the eighth was about as entertaining of a half inning as you'll ever see, just because there was honestly a point where I felt to myself, like, going to stop.
Right.
Like, it felt like it was going to go forever. It was incredible.
I mean, I'm glad it did, because, you know, Suarez comes in and the tying run is at the plate. When he hit it, did you think he had it?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, your call was good. Yeah,
your call was good. Your call was we played it yesterday on the air, and it was good. Like, you couldn't, Don almost killed me. Don gave me straight up. I could hear my heart beating through my chest, and the remote was about to go crashing.
You at least left the possibility
that it might not
leave the yard, which helped me listening it again. Like, stressful, though. Very stressful.
That was gnarly. That would have been the worst loss I've ever seen.
That was one of the, like I said, it's one of the craziest games we've ever seen. But yeah, off the bat, I don't know that I necessarily thought he got it, but I definitely knew it was possible. You know, I think part of the issue too was, not issue, but like, to get a little bit more in the weeds here, is I've done so few games in Kansas City. I don't have like a total feel of what it looks like, you know, from our perspective. Like, if we're at Dodger Stadium or Petco, or, you know, one of the places we've been a million times, generally it's like a little easier for me to have a sense of like what it looks and sounds like, you know, if a guy gets all of it. You know, that was only the second series I've ever done in Kansas City, and the other one was 2 years ago, so it's a little bit less consistent. And, you know, that was the first game of that series, so it was kind of like, all right, I'm not entirely sure, but I know he hit it well. And thankfully, it went the way it did.
Now, I think StatCast said it was a home run in 21 of 30 parks, just not Kansas City. Speaking of stressful, my last question before the Incorporator. Do you sense some stress because of the injuries to Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove? I felt like the last time they went on the IL, it was pretty like, you know what, let's just be on the safe side, cautious. Is there any more concern you're sensing from inside the clubhouse about the second trips for both of these guys?
I don't have a sense of that. I mean, they were both here yesterday. Darvish was playing catch in the outfield, which is obviously a pretty good sign. Now, it's a leg thing, not an arm thing. So playing catch isn't necessarily like a sign that his return is imminent. And I think they're going to be safe with both guys. You know, the one that, you know, for me is a little bit like, all right, let's wait and see, is Joe. I mean, and that's not based on anything I know. It's just, you've got a guy with an arm injury who's already been on the IL with an arm injury, and he's a pitcher. Like, you have to be a little bit concerned, but I know it is just killing that guy to not be out there right now. You know, I know that. But it's look, anytime two-fifths of your rotation is on the IL at the same time, you know, you don't feel great about it, but Randy Vasquez has done a really good job a couple times out. You know, the rest of the guys are pitching well. I'm excited to see Major tonight and kind of, you know, get a look at him in the major leagues for the first time. Moving forward, you know, they can still move some things around.
Trying to get Jesse Agler on the line. It's proving a little more difficult than we expected. But you got your answer.
Yeah, he's definitely in Orange County the moment.
He is. And then not great service on his cell phone.
The far-flung areas of Orange County, apparently.
Correct.
That don't have good cell service.
The call can't be completed, guys. The call can't be completed. Professional radio.
Yep. Live broadcasting. It's always fun.
I mean, it's not as though there's only one method to communicate with people. Can we get them on a Zoom, a Teams, a Snapchat?
Let me put out a smoke signal. Yeah. Hold on. Give me a second.
All right. Keep working on that, IP. Maybe he can call the hotline from his cell.
I think that was not working.
Not cells, from his room.
That's well, then you've got to the hotel. Do they still do that?
Yes, Eric Meyer. I'll Venmo you. Would it cost you a nickel to make that call? I got it. Just put it on my tab.
Oh, it's a hotel. Remember what it used to cost to make a call from a hotel?
I always carried a calling card with me, so I would use that. So you didn't,
or you go down to the payphone down in the lobby instead of using your hotel phone, which they would charge you like $4 a minute or something to make a call to order for a pizza, which was insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I bet you're not a big room service guy.
No, why would you order lesser food at a higher price when you can simply go down the block and get something yourself?
You know why? Convenience and eating in your hotel room is very fun. It's very fun to do. And then you take it and you leave it out. It's the greatest bit of all time. Here you go. Just going to leave this right here outside the door. Somebody else's problem. There's nothing like it.
I mean, I do enjoy those silver cloches.
The cloche.
Which I believe was an incorporator
cloche,
word. Early in his incorporator tenure. All right. Look, they're still working. All right, let's check traffic, and then we come back.
We think.
The very far-flung Jesse Agler will join us next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Good morning, guys. I cannot really hear you. I can only sort of hear you in the background. I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you perfectly. You sound great.
Okay, there you go.
At the Disneyland Hotel or something. Was it your cell phone that wasn't working?
Yeah, nobody seems to have self-service here, no matter what company you have. Everybody has different companies, and it doesn't work well for anybody, it seems. So we're on the hotel phone. I don't know the last time I touched a hotel phone, like physically touched it.
So you're not a big room service guy then?
No.
I agree with you.
I love room service. Are you guys kidding? You really don't like room service?
It's 2024, man. DoorDash.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair. DoorDash, yeah, that's probably more convenient.
More options.
More options. Cheaper.
Yeah.
More options. Yeah. A third of the price, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't know why I was so fascinated by you. I texted you yesterday to get this information. Did you come home, you know, after the trip and then drive up for the games, or do you stay in the hotel? And you said, no, I'm staying in the hotel this time. And I said, that's a wise decision that you made. I, too, would stay in the hotel. Sorry, babe, I know I'm 70 miles from our house. I cannot make it down there.
It's a terrible drive, though.
Bad drive. You know, it's like an hour and a half or whatever from my house. And to do that, you know, at 11 o'clock at night after a game, three straight days, doesn't feel great. So, you know, that was kind of my thinking. Now, had this been the first stop in the trip, might have stayed home for an extra day or two and done that. But kind of on the back end of a road trip, it sort of felt like, all right, I'm already here. And I'll see you guys in a couple days.
Yeah, works for me.
So Woods is very frustrated this morning. Obviously, I would have liked to have seen the Padres win, but
I didn't
have that same maybe level of frustration to me. Padres, I will agree with Mike Schilt. They're a team playing some good baseball. They're not going to win every single game. And last night simply was a case where the game on the margins, the going for the extra bases didn't work out. The runners with scoring position didn't work out. I didn't see any signs of like larger problems or anything. Just happened to not come through last night. But I don't expect that to be an ongoing issue, Jesse, for the Padres.
All right. You know, I mean, look. Every loss generally is frustrating, you know, in some way or another. And, you know, we can pick apart what was frustrating about last night versus some other game. But, yeah, as you said, you're not going to win every one. You know, I think for me, the two main things to come out of yesterday that I assume people are kind of wrapped up in are the aggressive base running, which I don't consider an issue in any way, shape, or form. Now, do I think both decisions last night were good decisions? Maybe not. You know, the first one, I think in particular, the play was in front of Kim. He decided to make the aggressive play. I think in retrospect, if he had to do that one over again, he's probably stopping at second base. The second one, gotta go. Like, you know, make them make the play they did. I think every third base coach in baseball makes the decision that Tim Leeper made. Oh, by the way, you didn't really have another shot to score again after that. So if they had left him there and he didn't come home, we'd be, you know, ruining that decision. So I was totally fine with that. You know, the lefty thing, though, is the other one. And the Padres struggles against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one that popped up on my radar, I don't know, back in April, late April. And it was just kind of weird, right? And I started asking around kind of quietly, like, hey, you got anything on this? And it was a little bit early on in the season, I think, for anybody to read too far into it. But, you know, sometime in the last homestand, Mike Schilt kind of allowed to us publicly that, you know, against left-handed pitchers, you know, the fly ball rate for the hitters was, you know, higher than maybe they wanted it to be or expected it to be. So I've kind of kept my eye on that. And now, look, Tyler Anderson's having a really good year. He's pitched really well against the Padres. It seems like every time out, this guy has tortured them many times. So it maybe wasn't like the greatest surprise in the world yesterday, but that's one that I would kind of keep my eye on. And so I guess my point is, if you want to take something out of yesterday and sort of apply it to the future, I would say we got to continue to keep our eye on this lefty thing. And Patrick Sandoval is going tonight for the Angels. He's another left-handed pitcher. You know, be interesting to see how that goes. It's a weird one. It really is. I don't think there's any great explanation for it. Other than maybe generally this year, Manny and Fernando, who have in their careers just crushed lefties, have not yet reached sort of, you know, their peaks. Now they're both heading in a really good direction. But I think going into yesterday, Fernando hitting about 100 points lower against lefties this year than he had in his career. Manny maybe more than 100 points against lefties this year than the rest of his career. So if those guys start getting going generally, one would imagine they're also going to get going against lefties, and that could totally change all that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of my takeaway from yesterday. I think getting wrapped up in a single decision by a third base coach is probably not my angle from yesterday's game. And like I said, I agreed with what Tim Leeper did. I'm watching that play unfold in real time, and, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, running into outs, you know, the Kim extra bag. Look, I mean, I think you can justify really all of it. You don't want to change the personality of your team. But I also, Jesse, think that this team has shown this year the ability to, sometimes it takes till the eighth inning when you can string nine straight hits together. So I know this is not a team that's waiting on the three-run homer anymore. And I love that about them. I mean, they have the ability to paper cut you to death. And they've done it. I think that was kind of my only thing of like, hey, man, Ha-Sung, you're in scoring position. Fernando or Jerkson, you're at third. Manny's coming up, who they most certainly would have walked, but Solano's been mashing. Like, I have to remember, though, what Mike Schilt said and Manny Machado said, you keep giving yourself opportunities of at least getting guys on base, you're going to win hopefully more of those than you lose.
So, only that, but as you said, they've shown the ability to do it this year. And two, yeah, all right, it didn't happen last night, but there's nothing there that made me concerned for the long-term future.
Sure, same.
Of the team.
Same.
And,
yeah.
I think as long as that's not the case, then you can't get too wrapped up in it. I know the Angels aren't very good. I know their record is bad. I know their home record is particularly bad. But, you know, that's just how baseball goes.
It is.
Speaking of paper cutting a team to death, your perspective on that 9-run, 11-hit, 8th inning on Friday night in Kansas City. I'm sure your scorecard got a workout for that one, but that was one of the more remarkable things I think I've seen as a Padres fan.
Yeah, no, remarkable is a great word for it because it kept happening. First of all, they'd never had 11 hits in an inning before, so, you know, a little bit of franchise history there. But, I mean, just the fact it was just single, 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 single to start the game. And, I mean, then you had that bottom of the 9th inning. And it was just, you know, a game that was scoreless after 5 turned into one of the wildest games we've seen in the last couple of years. And it's just such a great reminder of the, you know, beautiful stupidity of baseball, as I like to say. And, you know, you never quite know how a game is going to go. You might think you know how it's going after a couple of innings. You might think you have a sense of the way this thing is going to end, you know, one way or the other. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just absolute bedlam out there. You know, I think that's such a great example, that game, of like, you know, the unpredictability of the sport and the craziness of the sport. And it was a lot of fun, obviously, to be on the right side of it and to be able to hold on and get that win. I know it wasn't ideal to have to go to Suarez, and that certainly came back in the Sunday game in Kansas City. But that top of the eighth was about as entertaining of a half inning as you'll ever see, just because there was honestly a point where I felt to myself, it's going to stop.
Right.
Like, it felt like it was going to go forever. It was incredible.
I mean, I'm glad it did because, you know, Suarez comes in and the tying run is at the plate. When he hit it, did you think he had it?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, your call was good.
Yeah, your call was good. Your call was very, we played it yesterday on the air and it was good. Like, you couldn't, Don almost killed me. Don gave me straight up. I could hear my heart beating through my chest and the remote was about to go crashing.
You at least left the possibility
you left
that it
the
might
possibility.
Not leave the yard, which helped me listening it again. Like, stressful though, very stressful.
That was gnarly. That would have been the worst loss I've ever seen.
That was one of the, yeah, that, like I said, it's one of the craziest games we've ever seen. But yeah, off the bat, I don't know that I necessarily thought he got it, but I definitely knew it was possible. You know, I think part of the issue too was, not issue, but like, to get a little bit more in the weeds here, is I've done so few games in Kansas City. I don't have like a total feel of what it looks like, you know, from our perspective. Like if we're at Dodger Stadium or Petco or, you know, one of the places we've been a million times, generally it's like a little easier for me to have a sense of like what it looks and sounds like, you know, if a guy gets all of it. You know, that was only the second series I've ever done in Kansas City, and the other one was 2 years ago, so it's a little bit less consistent. And, you know, that was the first game of that series. So it was kind of like, all right, I'm not entirely sure, but I know he hit it well. And thankfully it went the way it did.
Now, I think StatCast said it was a home run in 21 of 30 parks, just not, not Kansas City. Speaking of stressful, my last question before the Incorporator. Do you sense some stress because of the injuries to Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove? I felt like the last time they went on the IL, it was pretty like, yeah, you know what, let's just be on the safe side, cautious. Is there any more concern you're sensing from inside the clubhouse about the second trips for both of these guys?
I don't have a sense of that. I mean, they were both here yesterday. Darvish was playing catch in the outfield, which is obviously a pretty good sign. Now, it's a leg thing, not an arm thing. So playing catch isn't necessarily like a sign that his return is imminent. And I think they're going to be safe with both guys. You know, the one that, you know, for me is a little bit like, all right, let's wait and see is Joe. I mean, and that's not based on anything I know. It's just you've got a guy with an arm injury who's already been on the IL with an arm injury, and he's a pitcher. Like, you have to be a little bit concerned. But I know it is just killing that guy to not be out there right now. You know, I know that. But it's look, anytime two-fifths of your rotation is on the IL at the same time, you know, you don't feel great about it, but Randy Vasquez has done a really good job a couple times out. You know, the rest of the guys are pitching well. I'm excited to see Major tonight and kind of, you know, get a look at him in the major leagues for the first time. Moving forward, you know, they can still move some things around to manipulate things. They can continue to roll with Major if they want. You know, you got Brito and Morihona's possibilities to kind of piece something together in one of those spots. So, look, the good news, quote-unquote, and we talked about this earlier in the year, you know, when both of those guys had some time on the IL, is that, you know, the depth in this organization now when it comes to starting pitching is noticeably different than really at any point in the last few years. You know, everybody remembers, you know, 2021 was it, when everything just completely fell apart down the stretch, and it was, you know, a bullpen day three times a week or whatever it was. And, you know, now, look, it's not an ideal situation. It is tenuous. It always is with injuries to starting pitching. But, you know, you really do feel like they've got a pretty good way to kind of, you know, cover it, you know, for two really high caliber guys. So, I, you know, from that standpoint, I feel as good as I possibly could right now.
Love it. And I'm going to give Jesse this Incorporator award today. I don't have the sound. I just know how to say it.
So you do?
Yeah. Axissimus. Axissimus. It is an ironic rhetorical device in which one feigns indifference or makes a pretense of refusing something one desires. It's a confusing word, and it's a confusing definition. Axissimus.
Could you use it in a sentence?
Could I use it in a sentence?
Can you? That's the thing.
I can.
I don't know that you can.
I'm about to do it.
Okay.
I'm not doing it. They did it for me.
Oh, okay.
Clarence's simpering, that's a good word, that he couldn't possibly accept such a generous gift is an example of Axissimus, for he has repeatedly shown the audience his weakness for luxury. He's feigning, like, I could never do that.
Feigning indifference.
Yeah, feigning indifference.
But you really do want it badly. Oh.
Oh, I think you could use that in a baseball context.
You're playing
really
it cool,
do.
Essentially. You're playing it cool.
No, it's you're full of S,
yeah,
basically.
Well, that's what you do when you play something cool.
Play it cool.
You don't show how much you want something. No. I don't need the Padres to win tonight.
I could never. Ben is full of Axissimus.
It would be. All right, so it's Woodsy being like, I'm not worried about running into outs at the plate.
That's exactly right.
Axissimus.
Thank you.
There it is.
I'm going to send you a screenshot
Axissimus.
Right now.
All right, Jesse.
Thank you, buddy.
Good luck. We will see you back next week.
See you later.
Jesse Agler, the Incorporator. Listen for Axissimus tonight on the broadcast. We will talk more about the game tonight in our final hour. Also get some Italian Paul. Ryan will report coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.